Let me take your oath of mute. I did.
Hi, God bless you all. I wanted to share a little bit about God's demonstrated love, and specifically how he demonstrated his love, care, his protection, and his providence to the children of Israel, and how he does it for us today. The records in God's word about Israel and his love for them is so astounding in so many ways, and I've been looking at different sections of the word where it talks about God being for someone or with someone or that God was among them. And in looking at some of these records, I've seen the extraordinary things that happened. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, it tells a little bit about how special Israel was to God. And in 7 verse 6, it says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keepeth his commandments to 1,000 generations." And here God is describing himself as the faithful God. It's one of the phrases in the word where God describes himself as the faithful God. And he was talking about Israel and how they were to him. They were holy, they were chosen, they were special. He had set his love upon them, and that he was going to be the keeper of the oath that he was given. Again, once again, describing his faithfulness. And many of us are familiar with the record of Israel's deliverance from the Egyptians when God led them through the Red Sea and the wilderness. And when the children of Israel left Egypt, it says in Exodus that God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. They encamped in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire and gave them light to go by day and night, and that he took it not away. And so often when I look at that record, I'm so astounded that, I mean, it's quite the escort, that God's presence was evident. He went before them. He led them. The pillar of fire was showing them the way that they should go. And I just see such a wonderful, loving God with his eye upon them and showing his power and his presence to them in a most wonderful way. And he continued to do that for them as the years went on. And in Joshua, after that they had spent the 40 years in the wilderness, Israel is about to go into the promised land. And in chapter 2, it says that the spies, they sent out 2 spies to the land of Jericho, and they came to the house of Rahab. They lodged there, and she hit them on the roof. And then in verse 9, it says, "And she said unto the men," after they had come back, the 2 spies, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." And it's just amazing in how, you know, they heard of what God had done in the Red Sea. And here she acknowledges that the God that of heaven and the God of earth was the one that did all these things for them. And he did it because of them, he did it for them, and was the one that was giving them their land. It wasn't a small thing. There was terror falling upon them. There was melting of hearts. There were hearts fainting. There was no more courage in them. And, you know, that's quite extraordinary. And it wasn't because of the grand army of the Israelites, but because of who was behind them. And she knew that in acknowledging that. And in chapter 3, then Joshua gets with the children of Israel. In verse 9 of chapter 3, it says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby know ye that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out the from before you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hevites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites." And he was reminding them that, you know, the living God was among them, and that they were to trust in God, because he was going to take them without fail and drive out the inhabitants from before them. And then in chapter 4, it records once again, it says in 22, "Then you shall know the children, then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for you before, until we were gone over, and all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord forever." God had taken care of them for 40 years. He provided them water. He provided them protection. Their clothes did not get old. Their feet did not swell. He had done so much. He fed them with manna for 40 years. And the manna, I always think, is an astounding thing of God's provision, because it appeared every morning, every day they were supposed to go out. They were supposed to gather only enough for that day. If they gathered any more, they tried to store it. It would stink and be bad, so they couldn't use it. And it says that he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And I just think it's really astounding at how God provided for them every single day. And it was to teach them that for them to obey him, and that he would be there for them. And then in chapter 5, I already read 5, chapter 5. Okay, so in all along this, God had asked for them to love him. And he wanted him to love them with all of his heart, with all their hearts, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And I'm back, just skipping back to chapter, the first chapter in Joshua. It says that the book of this law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you, whithersoever thou goest. And in Psalm 91 is another wonderful psalm where it talks about God's protection and God's care. And in the Psalm 91, in the first verse, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And when I look at that and I think about dwelling, you know, dwelling isn't something that you just come into and necessarily leave right away. I mean, you stick around a little bit. You know, we have a dwelling here that we live in, and, you know, we sleep here and eat here, and we spend a lot of time here. And it says that he that dwells to spend time with, and I think about meditating on God and pondering his blessings and his goodness and the promises that he's made. It says, "They shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And in the margin here in my Bible, it says lodge, that they'll lodge under the shadow of the Almighty. And, you know, it reminds me of when I'm out camping, and I usually sit in a chair with an umbrella on because the sun is so hot. But, you know, any kind of shadow that I can get is where I'm going to be hanging out there. I'm going to be lodging there. And that's what, you know, God is saying, that when we hang out with him a little bit and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we're going to be under his protection and care. Then in verse 2 it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. And I think a lot of times that we have to remind ourselves and say things like that to ourselves, that I will say of the Lord, my God, he is my refuge and he is my fortress. He is my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome, the deadly pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So we have God here as being the refuge, a fortress for us, a deliverer, a covering for us, a shielding for us. And in turn, we meditate, we dwell on him, we abide with him, and we talk to ourselves and remind ourselves and each other that God is for us and God is in us. And we make his truth our shield. And we do it every day, step by step along the way. And God's demonstrated his love so much for Israel and how he cared for them and through the time in the wilderness and bringing them into the promised land and even after that. And that he's demonstrated his love for us, too, in giving us his Son and giving us the Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, there's a record here that's pretty interesting that on what Jesus Christ was, came to do and what he was going to accomplish. And in John 6, in verse 47, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus Christ was the true bread from heaven. The manna in the Old Testament with Israel pointed to the one who was going to come, the living bread that he was going to give us eternal life. And now that we have had this, what is our response? Well, I go to 2 Corinthians. In the 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2, verse 14, it says, Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And the English Standard Version, ESV, has, But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God. We are such a sweet, sweet savor to God. And because of this, and because of what Christ has accomplished for us, we have the right to use his name. And in Colossians it says, let's see, in verse chapter 3, verse 17, it says, Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father by him. We have the name of Jesus Christ to use in what we ask in prayer. We've got full access unto God. Our Lord Jesus said that whatsoever we would ask the Father in my name, he said he will give it to you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. But when we have a care or a concern, when we have a need or a desire, we cast it to him, knowing that we have his love and his care and his blessings. We are to be followers of God as dear children and to walk in love as Christ has loved us. And we see this great love demonstrated for us in that God has called us his very own and we are his children. God demonstrated his love for us in giving us his Son, and we demonstrate our love back to him by loving each other. We are so very, very special to God, and it's a great comfort to know that our hairs of our head are numbered. We are of more value than many sparrows. He has seated us in the heavenlies. He's made us workers together with him. And we can have sweet, sweet fellowship with him moment by moment in his love and his care His providence and His protection over our lives. So that's what I wanted to share. And Heavenly Father, I thank You very much for Your great love for us, for Your care for us, for how You have Your hedge of protection around us and over us, and for how You provide for all that we need, and that You are our God and You are our Father and we are Your children. Thank You so much for giving us such a loving relationship with You and to helping us in that relationship, that it grows deeper and deeper as the days go by. Thank You for all this in the wonderful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.